It's time for another Internet Advisor Show podcast. Since 1998, we've been helping computer users get on the Internet, get around it, and get over the problems they encounter there. The Internet Advisor is a two-hour weekly radio program heard on WJR 760 AM in Detroit since 1998 and across the state of Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Now, here are your hosts with this week's Internet Advisor podcast.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor, your place for answers to your computer questions since 1998, with your co-hosts Gary Baker and Foster Brown and their team of tech experts. The door is always open at InternetAdvisor.net, on Facebook, and through Twitter. But right now it's time to get you in touch with your helpful hosts on this week's edition of Internet Advisor.
Welcome to the Internet Advisor. Hi, Foster Brown, co-host of the show, along with Gary Baker and Count Carson in the studio with us today. We've got a great lineup of people. People who have a real heart for Detroit. One of them is Father Richard Dalton, who has got a site called Look Up Detroit and wants to hear from you. And we'll also be talking about Wheat Ridge Ministries and how they're putting money into groups of people who really care about this city. All that and a lot more coming up on the Internet Advisor. Time for us once again to check in with the man who has his finger on the pulse of the news that's going on around the world and the state in technology, and that's Mr. Mike Brennan. Mike, welcome today.
Foster, always a pleasure.
Let's take a look at some of the things that are happening nationally first. It looks like the FCC chairman is caught between a rock and a hard place.
He's independent, and he made a point of that. He had a private meeting with industry. The big cable companies and whatnot want to charge a premium for services like Netflix, because at night Netflix is something like 32% of Internet traffic. So they want to be able to charge them more money because give them priority access on the Internet superhighway, as it were. And the president is really opposed to that. He thinks everybody should pay the same rate, everybody should be treated fairly. And the FCC chairman said in a private meeting with industry that was reported that, gosh, guys, I'll work with you some way.
Something else happened with our president. He headed off to China this last week, and it looks like we're going to be getting prices dropping on a whole bunch of tech products.
Yeah, the Information Technology Agreement, which is sort of a world trade, it is a world trade agreement, it's going to include a lot more products made in America. There'll be medical devices, semiconductors, things like that, and it'll reduce the tariffs, make it easier for the U.S. products to get sold in China, in this case, and around the world, for that matter. So it's a win-win.
Do you think we could see any of this coming through early as, let's say, Black Friday, coming up near Thanksgiving?
Oh, no, I don't think so. December is when it gets implemented. Probably see something next year, but okay. I think it's way too early for this year.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, our friends I noticed at MCWT, Michigan Council of Women in Technology, had a gala recently, and they raised a good deal of money.
Yeah, I was there, but our good friend Nicole Johnson covered it for us, and they raised over $300,000.
Wonderful.
Which would be used to fund scholarships and buy computers for young women who are going into various technology careers, engineering, math, science, that sort of thing. There was a lot of people there. It was a lot of fun. Black Tie Gala. Also, Ford announced that their latest CIO come December is going to be a woman. So that's a big, glass ceiling kind of thing. Then MCWT itself is turning over the reins. The leadership is going to Cindy Warner, who has a very high-level job at IBM. So, women are making progress
Absolutely.
In this area. It's just the numbers are still small in relationship to men. So.
But what isn't small is the work that MCWT, the Michigan Council of Women in Technology, has done for women and continues to do for women. You know, this is the kind of headlines, folks, that you're hearing, that just a sampler of the things that you will get every week absolutely for free if you go to InternetAdvisor.net right now and scroll down the page and click on subscribe. Just put your email address in there, and every week you'll receive not only these headlines, but many, many more absolutely free, plus a lot of audio. It's just a cornucopia of wonderfulness, news about technology and great resources for you. Mike, let's wrap up with one thing that I hear that some young people from the Detroit metropolitan area are going to be going to Russia to compete.
Yeah, three high school students from Canton and Northville will leave on November 19th to represent the United States in the World Robot Olympiad, which will be held in Sochi, where they had the Olympics, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And so this is the first time the U.S. has participated in this contest. There's 20,000 competitors from 50 countries. And so these kids, even if they don't win, are going to have a fabulous experience. So, let's wish them luck, right? So.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, thank you so much for bringing this news. As you see, folks, it's news from around the nation, the world, and right around the corner as well for people who are entrepreneurs or just interested in technology in general. Again, go to internetadvisor.net, scroll down the page, and click on subscribe now, and you got MI Tech News coming to you every Friday. Mike, thanks so much, and have a great weekend.
You too, Foster.
That's Mr. Mike Brennan, who's the editor of MI Tech News, and a good friend of ours and somebody that we partnered up with their newsletter. Kind of a neat thing because it combines not only those headlines, but a lot of audio resources, including the podcast and past programs and some other goodies as well.
That's right. And Mike has been around the tech community here in Michigan forever. And so he really gets the story behind the story so many times.
And he's got some great stringers working for him, too. Nicole Johnson, pardon me, he mentioned,
right,
was at that MCWT, Michigan Conference of Women in Technology.
Yeah, Michigan Council.
Council, pardon me. Women in Technology. Their big meeting coming up. Great fundraiser and a new president. Now.
That's right. Yep.
Great organization that we have dealt with for a long time. Gary Baker, by the way, the fellow who's sitting here chatting with me, have been doing that for many, many years.
Yeah. Going on 17.
17 years, that's right. And then Mr. Cal Carson's here, too.
Yes, and it is a pleasure always to be here.
He is our Mac expert, also just kind of general all-around expert. Hey, guys, this week, a remarkable thing happened. I guess I was the kind of guy who was, maybe you weren't, I don't know. I don't know how old you were at the time. When the first rockets went off, men went to the moon and things like that. You guys would have been...
I read about it in the history books.
Yeah. I was glued to the TV every time there was a launch.
They had TV back then?
So I heard some bantering back and forth. Actually, I read some bantering back and forth on the internet about how many photos actually exist of Neil Armstrong when he walked on the moon. Anybody know? Somebody asked that, and there was a lot of guessing, and I didn't hear the real answers.
Oh, I would imagine there would have been a number of them from the lander itself. There, they took some pictures of him.
And the one, giant step for man.
Right, when he came down the landing, I remember
small
that.
Small step for man.
Well, the reason I give that as kind of a preface is that the remarkable thing that's happened this week with the landing of that
device on the comet.
Incredible, fired 10 years ago.
That's right.
And hit the mark.
And now it went to sleep, and it may come back. Who knows?
We got a few pictures, but just the fact that they got to it, remarkable, remarkable. So I'm still a little boy, mouth open, going, wow. Hey, coming back in just a few moments, we're going to be talking with Father Richard Dalton about a great thing he's got called Look Up Detroit. we're kind of chuckling in here because Gary looked over at me and something and said, five. And I said, well, five, what? It was?
Actually, five photographs exist of Neil Armstrong walking on the moon. And it's interesting because that of those five, there are really only three of them show Armstrong in direct view rather than a reflection. And only two of them show Armstrong in full frame of the photo rather than a cutoff. But no photo exists of Armstrong's face. And Neil Armstrong died a few years ago.
Yeah, I think it was because of the reflective shield that was on the was on the helmet. But oh boy, did it lead to a lot of conspiracy theories. Interesting ones. Hey, we've got a lot of great conversation going on today, but somebody I am just dying to talk to is our first guest here, and that's Father Richard Dalton. How you doing, Father? How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Glad to have you on with us.
Fun to be on with you.
We'll see. You're right. I understand.
We're going to have fun.
I want to check something out right away because you and I talking about this beforehand, I think you kind of intimated, you were on WJR on the Frank Beckman show way back when.
And then on your show after that.
Yes, and you were talking about what we're going to be talking about today, which is Look Up Detroit.
Yeah, but it was just twinkle in my eye at that point. It just had some links on there, one page.
Wow.
You know, I had been doing a lot of outreach in the city, in, mm-hmm. in the inner city of Detroit, and mm-hmm. then also suburbs, too. And I just saw that people weren't connecting, weren't telling their stories. You know, we got city, suburb division and things. And so I thought, well, you know, we need to do something more regional. And so it's progressed over a lot of years. Now there's just unbelievable tools available.
And that's
Father, you've come a long way.
I haven't come as long way as I'd want to, you know, but I've got a good start on it.
Well, you know, let me put a frame on this, because I was just reading, Gary, the 20th anniversary of your founding of your first company.
That's right, Online Tech.
Online Tech. Yeah. It was 20 years ago. Not long after that, Father, you were on the air with me. I mean, and one of the
We both invented the Internet, both of us.
No, but that the neat thing about this is that you had that vision before we have all that we take for granted right now, how slick things are. Like what you've got, you're lookupdetroit.com. And we, by the way, have a hot link from our homepage that you got to get on and look at that. But you stuck around that long. That, to me, is the remarkable thing, that you persisted from those few links to this. What kept you at it?
Well, a vision that there's a need to have, you know, the stories told from community groups, nonprofits, service clubs, the art and culture that's in our communities, and churches, too, to have a voice. And mm-hmm. these little stories, you know, we need, I mean, I don't want to do the Detroit News or the Free Press. Right. That's not the point. The point is these little stories. You know, look at Mitch Albom and how wonderful he highlights these stories all around. Well, he can do that on a weekly basis, but we need to have these out there, you know, multiplied many times mm-hmm. all over our metro area. You know, volunteer connections and just places to go, people to see, you know, connections.
You're right, Father. This is not the typical news. These are really wonderful stories, upbeat and celebratory, and this is fun to read.
But content's king.
Yes.
You know, and
yes,
I think I've got a way that feeders can be there. You know, I just haven't developed the team, but I've got a way that I think that, you know, this whole idea of guest posting and, you know, people getting their news out there on a regular basis, but always with a picture, always with an article.
Kind of your lone journey, your vision that you kind of trudge through these almost 20 years?
It hasn't quite been 20 years.
Well, it's close to it.
And Al Gore wasn't really part of this whole thing.
Don't tell him that. He'll probably repeat that he was.
It's been a good 9 or 10 years, Foster. You know, it really has been.
Oh, okay.
And, I mean, the vision's bigger, but I mean, we have to use the technology. And the media, you know, it if it bleeds, it leads, you know, a lot of times.
Oh, yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
And, you know, we're just not always getting the great story and a great resource. Now, I had converted this to a WordPress site this year, and
it looks wonderful, by the way. Matter of fact, I was talking to some folks on a web design, because they're working on reviving ours, and I pointed to your page and said, I love how it's open, and it's colorful, and it's full of all sorts of images, and you got that free through, it's a template with WordPress, isn't it?
It's a template, and a little bit of work on my part,
too. Oh, yeah,
too.
yeah.
And it's a responsive site, so it does well on tablets and phones, too, which has become very important. It wasn't even an issue, you know, mm-hmm. 3-4 years ago. We didn't even think of those things.
Lots of great images.
And that's an important part, too, you know. So I just, but I've got room for artists and writers and historians and computer geeks and editors, filmmakers, people that have a heart for their communities, and downriver, west side, east side, city, suburbs, Pontiac, Detroit. Yep. I mean, we really need to just work together.
I know. This is a soapbox, folks, looking for you to get up on it. And Father is here soliciting unashamedly.
Well, no question, because I need to, the teamwork has to take
place.
And you can find us on Facebook, Look Up Detroit.
Right.
You can also email me, richard@lookupdetroit.com.
Okay. All right.
But it's a fun project.
Yep.
And I think young people would enjoy getting involved and, you know, there's a lot of room.
Well, what's wonderful about this is, as you said, it covers the whole metro area. Wayne County, Macomb County, Oakland County. You've got a Metro Toolbox. You also link, of course, to the Metro newspapers and the Metro sports teams. So you've got, people can get all the, if you will, hard news they want. But the nice thing about it is you got things like Wallace Detroit Guitars. Tell me that story.
Oh, that's a neat story. Is it the David Scott building or something? He took wood out of an older, high rise, and it was called a high rise back then. But we got these beautiful buildings in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and some of them have been abandoned.
Yep.
Churches too.
Yep.
And this gentleman has taken the wood, and he was a woodworker, and he just has started to do guitars. And my wife's a guitarist and a songwriter. So I thought that was, and she showed me that. She's a Facebooker, and she finds these things. And so I thought that is a wonderful story.
So you're
about repurposing this old wood and putting, together guitars, not cigars. Cigars used to be a big industry in Detroit in terms of history.
Oh, really?
Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. No, it was huge. It was a big industry in Detroit. That's part of it. We have a whole section on history, and that's a fun thing.
You do.
The Historical Society should be sending me stuff. I've got the Jewish Community Center sending
yes.
me stuff. I've got, people send me stuff, and, this isn't something that one person can do.
No, you have down here, by the way, an article I saw, Detroit Transportation in the 50s, and it has the Detroit Street, well, the DSR, Detroit Street Railway, and it's got some of those DSR buses with the overhead electrical wires. I remember that from growing up in Milwaukee. They had
electric,
those.
We should have just kept them. Why did we lose them? Now we're tearing up woodwork to get it again. But, it's progress, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Used to be, I live in Rochester. I used to be able to take the train from Rochester right into downtown Detroit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what's old is new again, right?
Okay,
yeah,
folks.
Absolutely.
Hey, know what? I really like, I like a lot of things here in the featured videos and whatnot, but the 16 things you have to explain to out-of-towners about Detroit. I love that article. And that photo, I don't know where that photo came from, but maybe you could tell me offline or something. That's wonderful.
Yeah, and there's just so much out there to find. And again, the thing I'm missing right now on this whole thing is what we had at the very beginning is just a huge catalog of links. Now, if
yes.
you go under the Metro newspapers, you'll also find Metro radio stations. That might hit home for you guys.
Yep.
But, we need these links. We need to have a catalog of links from different communities. And that's what, when I converted this to WordPress, I lost some of that. I was on a Joomla format. It was mm-hmm. good. And I had done a lot of work. But, that's another
All
thing,
right.
too, is just getting these quick links. And it's fun to have this search
Okay, Father.
Engines.
To help you, Father Richard Dalton, we're going to have you guys go to internetadvisor.net, click on the lookupdetroit.com, and then go and get involved. Thanks, Father.
Thank you. And Al Gore, thanks you, too. And
Gary, I think if there was a theme that I try to weave things together this week, it was people who really care about cities. And you've got Father Episcopal priest, we were just talking to Father Richard Dalton, who is with his Look Up Detroit for many years, has been pulling things together and trying to get just the people to see that there's more to this city than sometimes the very dark headlines that are
That's
out
right.
there. On the other hand, we have some people who are on a national level looking for ways to help communities that are trying to just get a foothold to help themselves. And to talk about that today, we have Rick Herman, who is the president of Wheat Ridge Ministries. And Rick, thank you very much for joining us here on the Internet Advisor.
Hi, it's great to be with you.
Thank you so much. Tell us a little bit about the vision of Wheat Ridge Ministries, which has been around since, 1905, am I right?
Well, that is correct. We started in Wheat Ridge, Colorado in 1905 as a tuberculosis hospital that
wow.
was operated and owned by Lutherans around the United States. And when that disease was cured, the leaders at that time decided that their job wasn't over and decided to turn their attention to other emerging health and human service issues. And our niche became seeding those new ministries as they came about. And so we've been at that for probably close to 50 years now. And evolved gradually, of course, but
sure.
Really have a great time with inspired leaders that are trying to do some good things in their communities.
Is there any way that you can track, like, all of the different programs that you've helped fund and support? It seems like it'd be wonderful to figure out how you could go back even, Have you done that?
That's a great question, and we always are challenged by what we call knowledge management. That's one aspect of that, knowing what has happened and how those seeds have taken root.
Mm-hmm.
Certain things that certain projects we know of that have really blossomed and have become very well known, and among those in the Christian Church, Stephen's Ministry is a huge national ministry that was seeded, got its founding grant from Wheat Ridge Ministries.
No kidding! I did not know that. Our church is looking into that right now. I had no idea.
I didn't either. I'll bet there's a lot of things that we just kind of take for granted that you may have been involved in, or Wheat Ridge Ministries may have been involved in from the start.
And seeding that's wonderful. And they're based in St. Louis, right?
Yeah, out of St. Louis, and they're all over the world these days.
Oh, yes. Incredible ministry.
Parish Nurse Movement is another that got its founding grant from Wheat Ridge Ministries and has now also become an international outreach from churches all over the world. So once in a while, those seeds really blossom into really great big things, but we're just as happy with local efforts.
I love that.
Making a difference in their community.
Yeah. Now, before we get to our area, go ahead, Terry.
I was going to go to our area.
I was going to say, before we do that, you are also international, though, too, aren't you, in your outreach?
We do some work internationally. These days, interestingly, it's become a little easier for us to do that because the world has grown smaller, and between the internet and travel being so easy these days, a lot of our international work has U.S. partners. We're not a large enough organization to have people on the ground in other countries, so we have to work in partnerships and
sure.
communicate a lot. So, so about 15% of our work at any one time is international. The bulk of it, though, is in the U.S.
Do you do things like have grants to get things going? Or do people, for instance, write into Wheat Ridge and say, I've got this concept going? What does it take to get involved and get your help seeding a project?
You described it pretty accurately. We're known by most as a grant maker. We surround those grants, we like to think, with a lot of TLC, and we see ourselves sort of as a cheerleader for these new initiatives. As you can imagine, it's not getting any easier these days for someone or some group to start something new and have it be sustained over time. So we have a variety of grant programs. We try to also point people to other connections that they might pursue try to provide when we can either some direct technical support or help them find that in other places. So, but the at the root of that is our grant programs that provide financial resources. At a time, typically what happens is groups that and individuals that want to support a new effort, they want to see that it's sort of successful first, and so it's really hard to get that first set of resources.
It's like venture capital in many ways, Gary, isn't it?
And even more difficult maybe because you've got to find somebody that's willing to just give you the money, not just invest it.
Right? That's true,
In which case, Grace in Action Church here in Southwest Detroit has somehow found you, and you're supporting their Dreams in Action program, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. They're a great example of our seeding and how excited we get when we see great new programs in communities. So Grace in Action received a grant from us a few years ago for their programs,
their Dreams in Action,
in Detroit, And since then, they've actually gotten a second grant from us, which came from a new way that we're seeding. We've launched our own crowdfunding site called WeRaise.
I'm sorry, what is it called, please?
WeRaise.
WeRaise, and it's a crowdfunding site. I love that.
Neat idea.
Yeah, so anyhow, they received a grant from us for their collectives. You may be aware of those. They have various things that they're doing to help young people.
Well, I was going to say, excuse me for interrupting, Rick, but what we're hoping to do is this coming week, we're hoping to be able to gather some of the folks. They couldn't be here this weekend with us. We hope to be on with us now. Mm-hmm. But this weekend, they were very busy. So what we're hoping to do is get the folks from Southwest Detroit, from the Grace in Action Church, to talk about their Dreams in Action.
Yep.
And talk a little bit about this WeRaise program as well.
Sure.
So we're going to try to organize that and get a bunch of them on, along with a number of other community efforts, too.
Yeah.
Because I just love it, because these are people who have just rolled up their sleeves in Southwest Detroit, an area very hard hit economically, and they are just doing their very best to get people back to work and healing the community.
Yeah, it's a great ministry, and it also has another element that we like very much. We're very much committed these days to trying to help young adult leaders who have a vision and who are inspired to do things in their communities. And the Grace in Action folks are filled with young adults who are helping emerging young adults, those high school kids. So it's a win-win-win-win for us.
It is certainly, that's an area that suffered a lot from gang activity. So supporting young leaders in that area, giving them hope that they can break that cycle of violence and quick money that comes from the drug trade and things like that, it's tough. But God bless them for doing that. And they are, by the way, now you folks are a branch of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, am I right? ELCA?
We are. We're also, we come from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Right.
And so we are really supported by and support Lutherans, not just the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, but mm-hmm. the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Right,
there
right.
are other mm-hmm. church denominations from Lutheranism. And we like them all, and we're supported by them all. That's another unique thing about WeRaise. The funds that we have that we provide in grants for things like Grace in Action come to us from individual supporters and churches around the country. So it's really a full circle. You know, our donors are supporting things in Detroit when they may live in North Dakota and never be in Detroit, but they believe in the importance of
that's wonderful.
These new ministries.
I love how the story has gone from that tuberculosis hospital in the early 1900s, and when tuberculosis was a terrible scourge in this country, and that it has gone on to where you folks are. What I love about it is you're willing to let the seeds go and not kind of control it and direct it, but really make sure that it's in good hands and do the best you can to water it and kind of weed things, but really let it go on its own. What have been some, for you, some of the really neat success stories that have, you know, stir your heart?
Yeah, I've mentioned a couple of them in Stephen Ministries and Parish Nursing.
Oh, yeah.
A few years ago, we seeded a program out in New England that caught our attention. We had given it was actually a Lutheran social service agency out there, a grant to bring church leaders in various communities together to decide what they could do together to help people in need. One of the ideas that came out of that was in Burlington, Vermont, where people who needed jobs tended to live on one side of town, and there was no mass transit in that town, so they couldn't get to where the jobs were on the other end of town.
Dear.
They started a program they were one of the first to do a program that allowed people to donate their cars, and they ended up not only doing that, but creating this method of retooling the cars and providing service for these cars. So it became known as the Good News Garage.
I love it.
It's still there and has expanded into several other locations in the Northeast.
Excellent.
But it allows people who otherwise would not be able to afford their own car to receive a car and to receive repairs and other things when they need it.
So that's wonderful. One of the great ministry outreaches is something you've seeded. Rick Herman, thank you so much for being with us, president of Wheat Ridge Ministries. And this coming week, we hope to have some of the folks here in Detroit who are using some of those funds to help our city, too. Rick, thanks again to you and to everybody out there at Wheat Ridge. This is a big week coming up for us here in the city of Detroit. And as a matter of fact, it's something that's going to touch the nation. Our governor, reelected recently. We're delighted. I am happy to say, at least. I'm sorry, was one of his supporters. And I won't apologize for that, but I mean, I'm very happy that he's there.
He has been wonderful for technology.
Wow.
And
incredible.
He's really helped our state become the front-runner state in the field of cyber technology and cyber espionage protection. So
it's almost like he discovered another natural resource.
Well, and because he knows it,
he does.
And that's
had a Gateway computers for many, many years.
That's right.
And what's coming
out...
He is
a geek. Yep.
He certainly is, and he has put together what has now become an international...
That's right.
Cyber summit that is coming to Cobo Hall here this coming weekend.
That's
Gary,
right.
You're involved in it, and so is a gentleman who is online with us right now, Richard Steenen. How you doing, Richard?
Hey, Foster. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Richard. This is your third year of speaking at the cyber summit, isn't it?
Yeah. They were gracious enough to reach out the first couple of times, and I did the luncheon keynotes, the first two that they did, and now I'm in your breakout session, the business.
That's right. Yes, I chair the business track, so I get to moderate a couple panels, really good panels, and more importantly, I get to introduce Richard.
Now, give a little thumbnail. Why don't you do that right now so people can... We know who he is. We kind of greet him as an old friend here.
So Richard Steenen actually has done a number of things over the years. Richard, you and I really... met because we were competitors.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
19, 20 years ago, when you had RustNet and I had started Online Tech, right?
Yeah, boy, but doesn't seem that long ago.
Yeah,
that was back when the internet ran on Steam, right?
Yeah, we were really young then, right, Richard? So yeah, you have started, I can't even recall, 19 different companies, I think. And you were an analyst at Gartner, which is one of the biggest, if not the largest, analyst company. And you now have your own company and you've spoken in a number of, I think, 6 different continents. I don't think the Penguins haven't invited you to speak in Antarctica yet, have they?
I'm working on it.
What's your focus going to be at the conference, Richard?
So I'm going to be talking about industrial control system security, and it's about time to start talking about that because the threats are on the horizon, finally.
This would be the SCADA systems that we've talked about in the past?
Yep.
SCADA systems, anything to do with manufacturing, robotic controls, oil and gas pipelines.
Yeah.
You know, basically the way all the mechanical world works is controlled by digital systems.
And while we like to think they're secure, and they're pretty secure, they're not, you almost have to believe that somebody out there is trying to get in more than we think think they are, right?
Yeah, and this past week we learned about Black Energy, which is malware that's pretty much found a bunch of targets inside exposed control systems.
Really?
From 3 different manufacturers, including Siemens and General Electric.
What does Black Energy do, or has it done?
Yeah, it basically grants control to somebody remotely.
Wow.
And I did a little search on General Electric's application, and one of the first things that pops up is a control panel for gas turbines. It would not be a good thing to be in the hands of an amateur.
So aside from being able to turn things on and turn things off, what other malicious problems can you do controlling mechanical devices?
Well, it's fun with spinning equipment, such as nuclear refinery, uranium gas refiner centrifuges, but with gas turbines, too, you can change the RPMs.
Right.
And the one control panel I found just had an up and down button to change those. If you're doing that, wouldn't it be great if you set it, just like your washing machine or dryer, at the frequency that tended to make it shake? It would fall apart pretty quickly.
Or it could spin itself to death, you know.
Well, and Richard, we've had you on a number of times because we've become friends and because you're so knowledgeable and always are at the forefront. And we forgot to mention as an author, too, and writing Absolutely. A new, Richard's writing a new book. So we'll talk about that at some point. But I remember one time we had you on with retired General Michael Hayden, who was the former CIA director during Stuxnet, when there was a virus that spun up, you know, spun the centrifuges very fast, and that caused a problem for the Iranian nuclear reactors, right?
Yes, still the best example of, you know, a cyber sabotage that we have. Yeah. Hopefully it stays the best example.
And warfare can be very different. I mean, a war could essentially be over in milliseconds if the proper kind of commands were sent to some key services.
That's right.
And suddenly lights are out, energy stops, whatever it may be, and we're not going to need to drop a bomb. There won't be any lights left on, and there's lots of interesting TV programs on that. Hey, Richard, I wanted to ask you something. By the way, that's coming up this week. Gary, what are the dates for the... It's Cobo?
It's Monday at Cobo Hall, and you could still go online. And
you go to internetadvisor.net, you can link into that and find out more about
and
that as well.
Richard actually has a master's in war.
A master's? You have a master's in war? I don't imagine you bragging to too many people about that.
I needed to go back and, you know, just understand what I was talking about since I'd written a book on cyber warfare.
Oh, gee. That's right. You co-authored one, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, what is your new book coming up? I know you've done one called Up and to the Right, which was kind of the tactics of helping to influence those people who are analysts and, you know, how to understand the process of getting the rankings up for your business. What's your next one on?
Yeah, the next one is my master's thesis, and as I dug into the history of warfare and the technology side, I realized that, of course, the military systems are way behind the curve when it comes to security. We learned that through all the attacks against the Pentagon that have been successful and embarrassing. But the next phase is one that most businesses are currently encountering, and that is the security of the systems they build themselves. So, you know, just like the auto industries are discovering that cars need security if they're going to do all this cool digital stuff, turns out that things like the Aegis missile system and the Joint Strike Fighter didn't have very much security built into them.
Oh.
And that's going to be a problem in the future. So
I just saw a headline, and I don't have the details in front of me, that a single wrench that is needed for adjusting some nuclear rockets that they were using FedEx to ship. It's a very unique wrench they're using that to ship it back and forth. Not real secure.
Better to use FedEx than the U.S. Postal Service, which, of course,
is FedEx.
That's true. Richard, we have to run right now, but thank you so much for being on with us. I know it's going to be an excellent week. Folks, look, watch the headlines, both online and in our newspapers, about this big meeting coming up. And thank you again, Richard, for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
Richard, I'll see you Sunday night. I'll see you Sunday night and then Monday at the conference.
All right.
Thank you. All right, folks, next up, you. That's right, our second hour is wide open, and we're going to hear a lot from Mr. Cal Carson, as we have in the past, when you call us at 800-859-0957. If you just kind of wander by and say, what's that? It's your opportunity to walk into our computer shop, ask your question, and get some answers. 800-859-0957. You're listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisor Show. If you want to see the show notes for this program, visit our homepage at internetadvisor.net. That's where you'll also find past podcasts, our toolkit full of free software to clean up your computer and keep it running strong, and other resources. If you have a question for our hosts, just click the contact form on the homepage or enter our forums and place your question there. You can also friend us on Facebook. Now let's get back to the second hour of the Internet Advisor Show podcast. Thank you so much for joining us here for the live second hour of the Internet Advisor. That's the fun one for us, because that's when you get to drive right up here to 800-859-0957 and give us your question. And we've got Gary Baker and Cal Carson, myself, Foster Brown, in studio here with a whole bunch of years of helping people to fix computers and a lot of experience just waiting to solve your problem. Remember, the only dumb question is the one you don't ask. 800-859-0957. Well, for those of you who know the Internet Advisor, our program, been on here for quite a while on WJR. Matter of fact, been on here for close to 17 years with Gary Baker, my partner.
17 years this coming February.
That's right, yeah. And Cal Carson has been with us for many of those years. Cal, good to have you here, too.
Not 17, though, I tell you. I got a long way to roll to catch up with you guys.
We would have had to start when you were really young to get 17 years in, right?
Yeah, instead of, you know, representing Apple, I would have been representing, like, you know, grape.
Well, Cal is a tech expert for General Motors right now, working with the executives there.
Yes, Generous Motors.
Generous Motors. And on the executive level, so we've got to get it right. No excuses.
Well, you know, and people talk about that a lot, and I got to say that, you know, although I do have what most people would call high-profile customers, every customer that I deal with is high-profile in my book, and everybody needs the same type of treatment, you know, because, hey, the computers all work the same. I mean, you know, if Word's not working on A or working on B, it's still the same problem either
way. So that's the kind of attitude you've got here, folks, somebody waiting to help you. And the phone number is 800-859-0957. We got Ralph waiting. Matter of fact, let's get to Ralph, and then when we come back from our next break, Cal, I want you to take a moment to talk about Black Friday. You've got some interesting thoughts on that. That's a big sales, I won't say scam, but it's a big sales
day.
Well, it's actually now that weeks. We'll talk about it. Anyway, the number here, 800-859-0957, and let's say hello to Ralph from Shelby Township. Ralph, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Welcome to the Internet Advisor, and how can we help you?
Okay. I bought a Galaxy tablet, Tab 4, about three or four months ago, and I never had wireless before, so I purchased a router, and we hooked it up so that I'm operating off of the router. Mm-hmm. And it was going okay. I also have a computer that I have on there, too.
Right.
About three or four weeks ago, the tablet start asking for a password. I could not go on automatically. Kept asking for my password. And it's the router's password. It's kind of a difficult number to remember in your head.
I understand.
Lowercase, uppercase, all that.
Sure. Very secure.
Right. So I've called Costco, where I bought the thing from. I shouldn't mention that name. But
that's right.
Concierge service, and they've tried to help me. I called WOW, which is my cable or internet provider. And I haven't been able to satisfied. I just turned it on again this morning, and there it is again.
Ralph, what is the type of the router that you're using?
It's that popular one, Cisco.
Link? Pardon me?
I think it's Cisco.
Oh, it's a Cisco router, okay.
Probably Linksys.
Which would be Linksys, L-Y-N-K.
That's right, it's Linksys, right, because they had me contacting, using that website, Linksys.
Cal, thoughts?
Have any idea? So when you turn it on, when you turn on your Galaxy, it always asks for the password for it?
Right. Now, I also have a guest connection on there. It's Flamingo is the name of the thing, and there's a Flamingo guest. And the guest used to be protected with the password, and now that's open. If I use the guest, I can go right on, but I don't like that either, because somebody else could be going on there with me.
That's right.
Right.
Okay. So this is maybe the router's administration site, Cal?
Yeah. I definitely would be going. Yeah, that would be my first thought. With the Linksys router, generally speaking, if you take your computer and bring up a browser like IE or Safari, and you type in a 192.168.0.1 or 192.168.1.1, that should bring you to the administration page of the router, the Linksys router. And then once you log into that administration page, you should be able to go to the section where the passwords are. And you probably might want to go in and reset those passwords. If it's not asking for one for guests, my first thought is that that router got reset for some reason or another, maybe through a power shutdown and back up again, although it should hold the password.
Although it sounds like the issue is on the tablet, because am I right, Ralph? You're saying that the computer doesn't have any problem.
That's correct. That's what I was going to say.
But if the computer is hardwired,
the computer uses the router too.
Okay, on the tablet, when you put in the password for it, does it have a little checkbox saying "Remember this password"?
Yes.
And do you check it?
Yes.
And it remembers it? No.
No.
Okay.
But it was going good for the first couple of months that I used it, and it just started doing that. So I would take the time and putting in that difficult password, and then it's getting to be, there's got to be something happened there.
When was the last time you updated the software on the tablet?
Firmware.
Well, geez, I don't know. It's only about 4 months old, 3 months old.
Well, it shouldn't be an issue then.
Well, maybe. It depends on what version the software is under. He may have bought a tablet that may have been in a box for 6 months.
You're right.
And it could have an older version tablet. So what I would suggest you do is...
No, it's the latest tablet. It's a Tab 4. In fact, I'm having difficulty finding a keyboard. They have the attachment for the keyboard. They haven't found one that makes it for the
But even at that, it was probably manufactured a number of... many months ago. It came off the line.
Well, and what you want to do first is you want to make sure that the software on the tablet is up to snuff.
Because how do you do that?
I believe with the Android ones, if you go to settings, there should be an update section in there. You click it, and it should go and pull down the latest version of software for it.
This is just kind of precautions. Right. But what Cal has said to you before is if you go to 192.168.1.1, generally speaking, that'll take you into the router itself, and you can go back in there and check and see if there are proper connections going as well.
Let me write that down, those numbers. What are they now?
192.168.1.1. Try that.
And Ralph, hold on, and we'll talk to you offline.
Yeah, that should do it for you. Back in just a second to talk with Mike and you at 800-859-0957. Welcome. And by the way, if you happen to say, gee, I'm waiting for the game to come up here, and all of a sudden I'm hearing this program about computers. Yeah, normally, we're on at this time, 4 to 6, but with the sports schedule, we're often kind of bumped around a little bit. And if you'd like to catch some of our past programs, you can go to internetadvisor.net and then click on the podcast button, and it'll take you to some of our past ones. Because we are on every Saturday. Even if we're preempted here on WJR, which we are sometimes during the sporting season by the football or basketball teams, you'll find us online at internetadvisor.net with a full two-hour program. And that goes to our affiliates, who are also listening to us throughout, four stations in Michigan here. And, Gary, one of the things that struck me as we were talking about routers with our first guest, Ralph, and by the way, the phone number here right now, you can get hold of us immediately, is at 800-859-0957. I'm doing my own search for a router because it's kind of a funny thing. We talk about all the other equipment in the house. Mm-hmm. As being really important. But if you don't have a good, strong router, the rest of it works.
I hadn't paid much attention because my router just always worked and everything. And then it just, for one reason or another, wasn't going as far as we wanted it to. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to upgrade to 802.11ac, which is the latest.
Right.
And I spent a few bucks to do that, but boy, did that make a difference.
Yep.
We can now go anywhere in the house and be able to get a very, very strong connection. And we don't have to stall anymore, Foster. Cal is done helping Ralph, and he's back with us. I probably shouldn't have said that.
It's a real deal because
they can't tell. They don't know what's going on here in the studio.
Yeah, but you know something, Gary.
You helped Ralph.
Yes, I did. And while you were talking, while I was helping Ralph, I was also paying attention to what you were doing. Believe it or not, multitasking. And you make a very good point. We buy routers a lot of times, and routers are kind of like, that broom in the closet. You forget about it.
A doorknob. You don't.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to work. You're supposed to be able to forget about it, right?
Exactly. And they do work that way. But every now and then, every couple of years, it's probably a good idea to take a look at it and say, hey, is this thing still doing the work that I needed to do? Have there been changes in how networks work, and do we need to move up? And for that few, under $100, you can make all the difference in the world.
And it makes a big difference. As a matter of fact, when I bought this router that I have, it's a nice Linksys. It's an older one, though. It's an E1000, which I think I bought it used. I mean, so it's had around for a while. And the difference is that we are now seeing breaks in connections. Mm-hmm. My wife will be hollering from the other room, I'm not able to make this thing work.
And
I know it's not. I know it's not the software on the computer, and that can be the problem.
Yeah.
And you start thinking that it's a computer and I got to get a new computer. No, it's just you got to spend a little bit of money and get a good router, as you said, Gary.
That's right. And mine was 5 or 6 years old.
Right.
And it
this
was
the same thing.
Until it stopped working fine.
It's fine until it stops.
And this one will last 5 or 6 years, and yeah. I'll probably have to do it again. So.
But it's a good thing to invest wisely in.
Right.
Yeah.
And as you said, going up to the AC, which is the next level up now, or the MIMO, where they have the three antennas on them.
Yes.
Yeah, because back in the old days, remember, it was like, oh, 2400 baud. Oh, they came out with a 4800 baud, and everybody moved up. It's the same thing with routers. It's just not the same type of speed talk that we used to do in the back.
Yeah. And one of the things that Ed said, I live in an apartment complex, is I'm surrounded by all sorts of other routers.
And noise on things that are not routers,
exactly,
but are noise, right?
Your microwaves, you know, and phone systems, everything else. Yep.
And that's why there's dual band today, right? Because if you can't get it on channels on the lower band, you can get it on channels on the upper
jump
band
up
and
immediately.
Vice versa.
Exactly. All right, let's go out to Mike. Mike, welcome to the Internet Advisor, and what can we do for you this weekend?
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
What I have is, when I go on the Internet, and just do a search or whatever and get to a page, a pesky ad will pop up in the lower right corner, and it will, and the little button where you normally can X them out will count down like 9, 8, 7, until the X shows up, and then you can cut them out. Is there a way to stop that?
Yeah, it sounds like you've been hit with a toolbar hijacker, essentially. What browser are you using?
Internet Explorer.
Well, is this just one site, or is it multiple sites?
It's multiple sites.
It is, okay.
What are the ads or the little box talking about?
It could be anything. It could be, clothes. It could be, just trying to sell you stuff.
Yep.
So it has no commonality whatsoever?
No.
Okay. Up on the top of your window, what toolbars do you have on there, if you know what I'm talking about?
Right. The Google toolbar.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have Comcast, and then the Comcast toolbar.
Okay.
And do you like having those extra toolbars?
The Google one I do, because I use that the most. And then I switch back and forth with the Comcast one. But, I mean, I don't really need that one.
Sure.
As much as I do the Google.
Well, there's a couple of ways to do it. You could go into Cal. Does anybody have Internet Explorer open there? What operating system are you running right now? Windows what?
Windows 7.
Windows 7. Okay. So you're probably running what? IE 10?
I believe so, yeah.
Could be running IE 10. There is, I haven't got mine open to the right, but I think you have a...
I think what you want him to do, if I can be so boldly...
Yes.
I would probably go to that little gear on the right-hand side.
There you go.
I'd click on that rascal, and I'd go down to the one that says Manage Add-ons. And then Yeah. And then when you go in there, I would go in and turn off all the add-ons that you have turned on in there for right now. Turn them all off, shut down Internet Explorer, and then bring Internet Explorer back up again and see if you get those ads again. If it doesn't come back, then you can go back in and start adding back in the add-ons that you want to really use.
Right.
And add them in one at a time. You know, put one in, shut the IE down, bring it back up again, see if those ads come back. If it doesn't, you're good. And only add in back the ones that seem familiar to you. You know, if it says something like Adobe and you use Adobe products, that's probably good.
Sure.
But if you have something in there that says wonky and you have no idea what the heck a wonky is, I wouldn't put that one back in, and I'd probably delete the sucker.
Yeah. There are some that are like search helpers, God help us, and Conduit was one. And I'm trying to think what the other one is, Cal, that's been showing up on Macs, too. Matter of fact, I had it that I was arm wrestling with. I forget what it is. But anyway... Now, Cal, you said if it doesn't show up, you're okay. What happens if you shut all the extensions down, he goes back into Internet Explorer, and suddenly, boink, it's there again?
In that particular case, then I would go to malwarebytes.org, and that's malbytes.org, and I would download their program and run that against the machine and see whether or not that will find any malware in there and get rid of that for you.
And that was malware.
It's called Malwarebytes. By the way, if you simply go to internetadvisor.net, which
Thank
is our
you,
homepage,
sir.
And up on the top, there's a toolkit. Click on that, and Ed Riddell, who's one of our experts who has visiting some folks up north. He's put in there the links to Malwarebytes and other anti-malware programs that are there. And they're free, the links that we have, and you can download and install that on your machine and then run that, and that should get rid of it for you. Okay?
Oh, cool. Thank you very much.
If you continue to have any problems, get back in touch with us through our homepage, internetadvisor.net, and the Contact Us button. And that's why, by the way, any way you out there can get hold of us throughout the week at that number. If you happen to run into a problem, then, matter of fact, usually after the program is over, I'll go back and I'll find three or four emails in there. Please feel free to give us a call at 800-859-0957. That's a unique opportunity, especially during these winter and early spring months. We're sometimes not on the air every weekend. So this is kind of like your chance to walk in or drive in to a computer shop and say, hey, I got a problem. What do you think? And we'll put our heads together and see if we can help you with it. Again, 800-859-0957. Jerry in Brownstown. We're going to be getting to you and to the rest of you folks who are calling in at 800-859-0957. And Cal, I promise when we come back, we'll talk about Black Friday sales, or pseudo sales, you might say. You're listening to the Internet Advisor on our flagship station, 760 AM WJR in Detroit. Welcome, it's the Internet Advisor, and at this time I pay my homage to the folks behind the glass. Hey, Shannon, hey, good to see you back there. Rich Lozinski, our engineer who makes things work here, spins the dials, and Annie Nichols, our lady of the phones. Now, don't say the scream for when she's around. Anyway, Annie, thank you so much for being here. We've got folks lined up online here.
But couldn't do it without them.
Jerry and Gina and Michael, hang on a second, because Cal, I want you to talk a little bit about this Black Friday thing. We've been talking about this, and I've been seeing some articles on this, about whether, you know, Black Friday is really the big deal that it's always been. You had some interesting thoughts.
Well, yeah, I found out that, you know, from doing some research and stuff like that, that in some ways Black Friday is a really great deal if you find something really great. But on other sides, it's really not all that big of a deal. A lot of times, I mean, for example, I was looking and I was thinking about getting a second TV in the house, and I saw, wow, 50-inch TV for $199.
Oh, good Lord.
And I go like, okay, that sounds great. And you go and you look, and it's a third-tier or second-tier TV. Like, RCA used to be a really big name.
Yeah, but it was bought by...
But it's not a really big name anymore.
No, not anymore. Just the name.
They lost their touch, right?
Yeah, they no longer have that luster.
They're not on the bleeding edge of technology.
Exactly.
Well, they were bought, I think, by somebody else, too.
Yeah,
I
know, yeah, so now... So this TV's on sale for $199. It's 50-inch. You go like, wow, what a Black Friday deal. Well, you know something? You can get that same TV for about $50 more any day of the week. And it's only a 60 hertz TV.
Oh, boy.
And if you check with Consumers Reports, they rate it as some of the worst picture quality you've ever seen.
But you know, it's just like anything else you have to do, right? You have to shop.
Buyer beware.
You have to know what you're buying, right?
Exactly.
Because some people will say, you know what? I need a cheap TV. I don't have the money to spend on a really nice TV, and you know, it still might be worth it.
Well,
I don't shop Black Friday sales, but I don't shop much anyway.
But again, people have an image of this being this enormous savings on some really good machinery. It's just good to know.
And it might be, but you got to be careful.
Do your homework.
You got to do your homework. Read up. Look at what it is. Yep. Make sure it is. You know, the worst thing in the world to do is, number one, wait in line all night long in the cold, in the snow, for something that you could have just bought for another $25 or $50 more anyway.
Yeah, or online.
Or online and had it delivered directly to the house, and you wouldn't even have to go outside. So what I'm saying is that the hype of Black Friday, shake through the hype, do your homework, make sure that if you see something that you think is a great buy, make sure it is, in fact, a great buy.
Excellent. Jerry from Brownstown, welcome to the Internet Advisor, and how can we help you?
Oh, hi, yes. I have a question. I have a 17-inch laptop. It's a little bit older, but it was doing everything I needed to, and caught a virus or two and crashed, and I took it to the local computer store by my house, and they were able to reset it to the factory settings. Good. And I have Kaspersky that I purchased for a year that's good until March 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, what do you recommend to put put on this. Obviously, it didn't work the first time. I got caught a couple of viruses that knocked it out. I heard you talking about your toolkit on the internet.com, but is there anything you recommend to put on computers?
Nothing will work 100% because they have what they call zero-day viruses.
Mm-hmm.
So they can come up with a virus, and people say, oh, there's a virus, and before you can get the antidote onto your computer, the virus hits you. So, you know, there's always a chance, no matter what you have. But, Cal, we have some recommendations.
Well, seeing all that you've already bought Kaspersky for a year, have you used that already? Was that on there when you got the virus?
And it didn't work. He didn't keep it off, right?
It's gone. I have to reload it.
Okay. If you can reload it if you want to, but if it didn't protect you the way you wanted or you felt you should have protected, there's a couple of things you can do. Number one, you could if you're running a Windows machine, which I suspect you are, I would download Microsoft Essentials.
Security Essentials.
Yeah. It's absolutely free from Microsoft. It's a full body program. It's lightweight. It runs really well with the operating system.
Are you running Windows 7, by the way?
Yes, I am.
Then it's built perfectly for it. That's the best system for it.
So, and it's free.
Yep.
I would give that a try. If you don't want to go with that particular choice, my personal second choice would be AVG. I like it. I would download the free version of that and try that. But I'd go with the Microsoft Security Essentials to start with, because anything that is close to the manufacturing of the operating system, it's going to be written to be more efficient with it.
That's right. Now, do you have a Windows 8 or 8.1 operating system, or 7. Is it 7?
7.
No, it's a Windows 7.
Yep.
Okay. So for people that have 8 or 8.1, well, you should never have 8. You should have 8.1. It's now called Windows Defender.
And it's built into it.
For everybody else out there.
It's built into it.
Built in.
Now, one of the things I will tell you this, Gary used to say, had the term he used, belts and suspenders, as a way of talking about protecting our systems. Don't count on one thing being like the silver bullet or the wolfbane or the garlic.
You only want one antivirus.
Yes, yes.
And if you're and if you're hard pressed and say, "Oh my God, I want a commercial version of something," before you go out and buy anything, whoever gives you your internet, may it be UVerse or Comcast or WOW or one of the big providers. I know with Comcast and UVerse, they automatically will give you, with UVerse, you get a McAfee free. It's a full-blown version that you can download from UVerse's website and load on your machine. Or if you're getting it from Comcast, you get Norton, and it's full-blown. You can download that as well. Those are both equivalent to the commercial versions that you would go out and spend a couple $100 for.
Now, one other thing to keep in mind here, Jerry, pardon me, is that there's a difference between antivirus programs and malware programs.
That's right.
So an antivirus program is kind of like your belt. And you put that on, you got to make sure you have your belt on, your pants fall down otherwise. You put the suspenders on, that's the anti-malware.
Right.
And that will go after stuff that, for instance, will drop in from websites.
Not technically a virus,
right,
but they're bad.
They're bushwhackers.
Yeah.
And so you run Malware Bytes, for instance, the free version. You can run that, and you'll find a link to that on our homepage. And there's another one, a little more sophisticated, and to be honest with you, Callan and Gary, I don't know about you, but I usually run a twosome going after malware. I run Malware Bytes first, and then Combo Fix.
Right. Yes.
Yep,
and that seems to be the 1-2 punch.
A little cocktail for those little viruses.
And that cocktail has seemed to be very effective on the machines that I've worked on. So, but again, that's after malware, not necessarily the antivirus.
But the three that I mentioned to them, those three, Norton, McAfee, and Microsoft Essentials, they all do both virus and malware.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry, first of all, I got to thank you for asking the question, because it very does give us an opportunity to talk about this. There's a reason that, you know, Xfinity, which is Comcast, and UVerse, which is AT&T, there's a reason that they provide antivirus for free. And that is because not only does it hurt you when you catch a virus, but it hurts them and a whole lot of other people on the internet, because a lot of times, sometimes it'll just come in and take all your personal information
all your
and go out and steal your identity. But a lot of other times it becomes a robot and it spews ads and other stuff out to all these other, you know, all these other boxes as well. So that's why they just don't, I mean, they're willing to pay money.
It jams up the pipes.
So that they can give it to you for free.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for asking that question. Hope we've helped you out. Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, Jerry. Thank you. Again, the number, 800-859-0957. And Gina is with us from Clinton Township. Hi, Gina. How can we help you?
Hi. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I don't know. My question is probably very simple, but when I'm working in Windows 7. Mm-hmm. So when I click on the icon to go on to set the internet and I use the Mozilla Firefox.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. When I'm clicking on it now, something... do it right now. A new tab shows up every single time now, and it's called My Search Dial. I can't find that in any of my programs, trying to uninstall it and get rid of it.
I know.
So basically, I have to click out of it and then go into the internet. And I didn't know, is there something I can do to get rid of this? Or
yeah, we talked a little bit about another one of these hijackers beforehand. It's a search bar hijacker, and you've got it showing up on Mozilla, the Firefox. You said you go over to the internet. Do you go to Internet Explorer? Is that what you were saying?
No, I actually, I'm doing the Mozilla Firefox, so that's what I'm using as my browser, and then I do have the Internet Explorer. It doesn't show up on Internet Explorer.
See, now, what I was going to say, we often recommend to people have two or three browsers on. You could have four. I have four myself.
Okay.
But like either Chrome or IE, Internet Explorer, or if you want, Mozilla. And Safari would be the other one that you can have. But have another one so that when something gets snagged on one, you can use the other in case of emergency.
Gina, I just looked up My Search Dial on on Google to see if I could get you to a site that will remove it for you. The first one that comes up is uninstall My Search Dial, and guess where it takes you. It takes you to www.mysearchdial.com.
Yeah.
Removal instructions, don't go there.
Yeah,
right?
Do not go there.
I'm right back where I started.
So you probably figured that one out, right?
Mm-hmm. So
go. What we'll do is there's a couple other really good sites. It is a virus. You can take and get it removed. There are steps to remove it. There's actually even a YouTube channel. You want to take a look at that? I would always look at least two and preferably three resources online for this exact reason. You don't know. You might come up with, that sounds legitimate, and you go do exactly what they tell you to do, which is, you thought it was bad before. Well, they just did put something bad your computer.
The thief comes in, he sticks his hand in your back window, steals the fan, and then comes around the front door on a hot day and says, can I sell you a fan?
Right.
It's kind of the same thing. So. Gina, hang on, and we're going to come back after the break with a few more suggestions for you. But, but basically, you didn't do anything wrong. What happened was you got snagged by one of these darn search bar hijackers. Hey, folks, we have time for a couple more calls. 800-859-0957. Allow me just a moment. My name is Foster Brown, by the way. Gary Baker and Ed Rudell and Harvey Kalkarson in studio today. Just to remind you, our homepage, internetadvisor.net, is a veritable cornucopia of information for you throughout the week, because we put all of our show notes after the show is done. We pack in there not only links to the people who are our guests, but we also, for instance, in the second hour of our program where we're solving problems for folks like yourself, we also spend some time putting in the links to the different kind of helps that we find. So we try to make that a big source for you to get the information that we've had here on the air. Now, I'm breaking the programs up as there's a full-length podcast that goes out every week. It's about an hour and 15 minutes long with all the breaks taken out. But we've also started breaking down the show into the individual audio elements. So that when you go to the homepage at internetadvisor.net on the podcast feed or under the show, you'll see the individual audio elements for guests in this hour, like Father Richard Dalton in the first hour, separated out so you can go to a specific place. You can even listen to just the second hour of the program to us answering questions from listeners. So I wanted you to know that's a resource that's out there for you, for our affiliates and for anybody else who's listening to the program. So we're kind of trying to help you all week long. And speaking of that, simply if you have a problem during the week, go to internetadvisor.net and then go to the Contact Us button, and we will be there to help you. Now, let's get back out to Gina. Gina, thank you for hanging on there. as we were kind of talking behind the scenes about things to suggest to you, not just to you, but for other people who are listening out there who have found themselves in a problem, just kind of generally in a problem with your computer. Gary had mentioned offline something that I think, and Ed had talked about it near the end of our last program. YouTube is a tremendous resource.
Yeah, I just went to it as we were on break. Yeah, there are several videos that are showing how to remove it.
Excellent.
So you just have to be careful. Look at a couple, because the very first one that's listed, when you do the search, and it says YouTube, you go to that. Guess who put that video
on YouTube as well?
Yeah, they put mysearchdial.com, put the removal instructions. Now, this may very well be legit, right?
Yeah,
however,
right.
However,
trust me.
I would take and go and look at two or three other ones. Make sure that they're the same. They're giving you the same steps, right?
Yeah.
And as Gary said, don't go to the people who just stole your wallet.
Exactly.
But I'm glad that you did that. You went in there and saw a couple of different videos.
Yeah, there's a few on here that I'm seeing. Yeah, I'm doing the same thing. I haven't opened any up yet, but I thought, okay, I'll try and see. Yeah, my other question is, why would it always come up? It seems like it only happens in Mozilla. Why doesn't it happen in Internet Explorer? Does Internet Explorer have a better firewall or something that doesn't let people like these type of things in?
Yeah. So you asked a really easy question, Gina, and it's one I can answer instead of giving it to, our expert, Cal Carson. and I'm going, I can answer this. And Cal goes, oh, please. And I said, no, Cal, you do it. So, Cal,
you're the internet
advisor.
All right,
you too.
All right. Okay. So anyway, what happens is there are add-ons, and the add-on was specifically to the Mozilla browser.
It was built
browser.
For Mozilla. Yeah.
Right. So actually what you could do is you can manage this from your add-ons in Mozilla as well. So you could probably just disable it, but you can't remove it that way. But you
might
can disable it.
There might be an update to Mozilla that takes care of some of this too.
And it could be.
I'd remove it first.
Yes, yes.
And then a reboot, and then go in and do your update to Mozilla, and that would, and then that way to kind of take care of that situation.
Okay, so remove it first and go and update Mozilla. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I'm curious, why have you been using Firefox?
I don't know. It's my husband installed it on here, so it's just, and it's been easy. I mean, it doesn't really give me any problems.
Exactly.
But Chrome seems to give me, is it the Bing that comes up all the time? That was just kind of...
Well, Bing is usually the search engine on Internet Explorer because...
Okay, one of those that keeps popping up, so we just kind of stay with Mozilla.
So what you can do, if on IE you're constantly getting that little Bing guy come up, and if you don't particularly like Mr. Bing, what you can do is you can go into, Internet Options...
Okay.
Let's see. Is it Options?
Manage. I think it's Manage Tools.
Yeah, Manage. I'm sorry, excuse me. You go manage to that extensions. Little gear and then go to Manage Add-ons.
Yeah.
And you can go in there and say, click on Search Provider, and you can say, I want to have Google be my search provider.
Instead of Bing.
Oh, okay.
And you make that your default search provider because you do a right mouse click on Google and say Set as Default.
Right.
And then from now on, anytime you want to do a search, guess what? It'll use Google instead of Bing.
Okay.
One of the things you're pointing out here, Gina, and we're taking a little time to talk about this, because browsers have now become more...
ubiquitous?
Well, they're ubiquitous, but tunable. You can actually tweak them.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas before, when you got a browser, it was kind of like, you got what you got.
Right, exactly.
And what's happened with the advent of these hijackings that have gone on. In other words, you go to a website and it's poisoned, if you will, that when you hit it, it suddenly then dumps something down on your computer. Mm-hmm. And it very often those add-ons in there. The individual browsers have found ways of fighting these kind of things. And for instance, if you get the hire to Internet Explorer 11, it blocks everything pretty much. And you really have to start back over then, putting in the extensions very carefully. That's the way they handle it. Other ones will have their own antidotes out there. That's why you'll see a difference between the browsers. And I used to thought, well, what? Aren't they all, accessing the same stuff? No, not at all. Yeah. They're very finely tuned right now.
It's the price of customization. Where you get all the wonderfulness of being able to design the browser to work exactly the way you want, it opens the door because it is open, in a sense, for these little guys to kind of slip in and do their thing.
Yeah.
What browser do you guys recommend using more?
Oh, boy. I think that's kind of personal taste. Gary, what do you use?
At work, I use Internet Explorer because mm-hmm. some of our systems are tuned that way. Mm-hmm. I like Google Chrome.
Yeah.
That's okay. But I use, on another machine, I use mostly Mozilla.
It's kind of,
so I use all three.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. As I think about it, I use all three.
Traditionally, what I do is, it depends on the machine I'm on. I will always try to use the native browser for the operating system. If I'm using a Mac, I use Safari. If I'm using Windows, I use IE.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I
use Safari on my iPad.
I have gotten, I don't know, maybe kind of lazy or I just get used to it. I love Chrome. And I love the fact that I can go on somebody else's computer. I can go on a public computer.
And you can.
And
use
when I put my password in, it boom, all of my bookmarks are there, everything, and I get the same look
you
and feel.
You just like it because it's shiny.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, we use Chrome at my place of employment and IE because, like you're saying, some things that we go into, only I can retrieve it in Internet Explorer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's interesting. Okay.
And there's actually sites, and we tell people, do not make your site browser specific. But there are certain ActiveX controls that are only available in IE, in Internet Explorer, mm-hmm. and some sites still use them and they're exclusive. And so they try to build an experience for every other browser a different way, but it's not the same. And you think, all right, so those sites I go to IE on.
I was going to say, Kel, I think your point is good too, that the browser that's native to the system, Safari to the Mac, IE to the
Windows
machines, and Chrome actually kind of works on all of them.
Yeah,
it does.
It works on Android. If you're on a phone, it works on the Android as well as on iPhones as well.
Yeah, I just find that it just seems to me that they seem to work better if you use the one that's mm-hmm. native to the system. The interfaces generally will be common to the system itself. For me, it's easier that way.
Gina, thank you for your question.
Thank you.
It's given us a chance to talk about a number of things here. You have a great weekend, all right?
You too. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Hey, that wraps it up, folks, for the Internet Advisor. Don't forget, Cal was saying before, when you're looking at some of these Black Friday ads, they're starting to pile up all over the place. And heaven help us, this Sunday is going to be loaded. Next two Sundays will be like 20-pound newspapers.
It's great. I'll be able to wrap a lot of fish.
Bird cages are finally going to be covered. Just make sure you do your homework and look into those things to make sure that they're real deal. Well, my name is Foster Brown. Gary Baker, thank you for being here, and Cal Carson as well.
Certainly my pleasure.
Back with you next week. And by the way, in the meantime, check out our Facebook page, Internet Advisor. Got lots of fun things happening there as well. And all of our program notes will be together with our interviews and our podcast on Sunday night, ready for you to download. Thank you for being with us, and for you folks and our affiliates, thank you for joining us as well.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisors Show, the longest-running, locally produced computer show in Detroit radio. If you'd like to find out more about our weekly show, ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit internetadvisor.net. And you'll also find us on Facebook. Thanks for listening.